It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements, an enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history, from Eden to Mount Hermon, from Hermon to Babel, from Babel to Rome, from Rome to the cross, and from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes, and to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad that you've chosen to join us. I'm laughing because this is our second recording of this program. The first one, if you've ever done any recording on an iDevice, we use an iPad Pro to record the main shot, and somehow I had hit slow-mo video so that when it played back, it was super fast. It's hilarious. But not very instructive.
No. And no audio, too, so you couldn't hear anything. But I'll actually include a clip here so you could see. It's
hilarious.
Yeah. So anyway, we're giving take
watch
two here.
The show really fast.
But get it done in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it's great. No, and now you and I have, we discovered, you missed so much because we discovered a lot of things as we were walking through this, reading through this, and I think we've finally sort of agreed on a timeline.
Yeah. I was believing that we had to see the Antichrist at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, but that ain't necessarily so. Borrow a phrase from the old song.
No, and we'll get into that in a minute. But we're going to start at the end of 12.
Yeah, because we want to see the emergence of the beast and.
The whole voodoo thing where the dragon is standing on the sands of the sea,
right,
and maybe sort of, you know,
facilitating the arrival of the beast, and why we say this beast is a dragon, even though he doesn't really sound like a dragon. But we also see in here that John was very, very familiar with the prophecies of Daniel.
Oh, yes.
And very, very interesting stuff. So the end of Revelation 12. As we talked last week, the dragon, furious with the woman because she's been protected, presumably, mm-hmm. possibly, mm-hmm. at Petra. And so he goes off to make war on the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And this will be during the tribulation period, mm-hmm. the Great Tribulation, that 7-year period. And he stood on the sand of the sea.
He being the dragon.
Now, in Revelation 13, verse 1, we see, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And we'll get more into that in just a moment. But there's a question about the pronoun there in Revelation 13:1.
You know, that you don't have to have both third person singular,
mm-hmm.
because John is describing what he sees.
Right.
He sees the dragon standing and doing this, and he,
mm-hmm.
still referring to the dragon. And then he's saying, and I,
mm-hmm.
saw. So back to what I'm telling you that I saw.
Right.
It's a reminder. So I think he and I work.
Mm-hmm. And you, but you'd also had an email exchange some years ago with Dr. Michael Heiser where you asked about Revelation 13:1. And is
because
it possible?
I was giving a talk on this, and I wanted to make sure that what I took away, mm-hmm. was correct. And he said, yes, grammatically, that it is the dragon as he stands on the seashore and the sands of the sea, and John,
mm-hmm.
and I, John, it sees it in what we call verse 1 of chapter 13, but there are some that put verse 1 as the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So chapter 13, and the dragon stood, and he stood,
right.
and I saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bottom line is that it appears that the dragon is, Satan that is facilitating the rise of the beast from the sea. And well, let me read the other verses here, and then we'll get back to the comparisons to Daniel and why this is so interesting. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth.
Oh, wait, before you go there, I want to talk about the number of diadems on the heads.
Well, sure, sure.
Because we recently, in last week's program, we talked about the sign in the sky, mm-hmm. which was the dragon that had seven diadems.
Right.
And this one has 10.
And
they're on the horns.
Right, right. Whereas the diadems on Satan's heads were on the heads, not on
yes.
the horns. So it is... well, again, that would make sense out of verse 2 here. The beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet mm-hmm. were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and his great authority.
And I think that's what's going on here. We've got the 10 kings who are waiting for a kingdom.
Right.
The authority of the dragon, the diadems on the heads, that's the representative of the dragon's authority. The dragon currently, Satan, is in charge. He has dominion over the earth. Jesus mm-hmm. never challenged that.
Yes, yes. And that's interesting. You know,
so he gives his authority to the 10 kings.
Right.
So they are now wearing diadems.
Mm-hmm. Not this beast, not the spirit of Antichrist. The reason we think this is really interesting, and let me go back to Daniel chapter 7 here. The description of the beast that John sees is reminiscent of Daniel's vision of the four beasts in Daniel chapter 7, where he saw in his vision by night, four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then I looked as its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And behold, a second beast like a bear, and the third beast was like a leopard. The fourth beast he never describes. He just calls it terrifying, dreadful, and exceedingly strong. With great iron teeth, it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And we've talked about the beasts of Daniel and what they represented, the kingdoms that they represented, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greece, Rome, mm-hmm. and so forth.
I'd say this is an echo of Greco-Roman.
Yes. But then in verse 8, Daniel says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now, it's important to note that with these four beasts that Daniel sees, between the four of them, there are seven heads and 10 horns. And you've got this small horn then that is speaking these blasphemies. And you see that also in verse 5 of Revelation 13. Mm-hmm. The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And there are scholars who've looked at this and said, concluded that the little horn of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 8 through 20, is very similar to the Greek concept of the chaos monster, Typhon.
Yes.
So...
Which comes up from the sea.
Comes up from the sea, and the sea in the Old Testament represents primordial chaos. We see this with other ancient Near Eastern stories like Tiamat and Yam in the Baal cycle, and Leviathan in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Jormungandr.
Jormungandr with the Norse and Thor having to defeat it. The story over and over again where a warrior god had to defeat this chaos monster to bring order to the cosmos. Here in Daniel 7... It appears that this little horn that makes war on the saints and is given power over them for a while is a representation of chaos. So this is why we find, at least I do, I think this is really fascinating.
I do too.
Yeah, that this beast, the leopard, bear, lion, and with the mouth speaking blasphemous things, clearly echoing Daniel chapter 7, is it possible that this beast that we call the Antichrist is... the spirit of Leviathan, this chaos dragon, chaos monster.
I think that is exactly what's going on. Here's the thing, though. Satan appears to be orchestrating the rise as if he has laid the groundwork. Okay, now, oh, chaos dragon, you can now emerge. I've cleared the decks. But he seems to be using this entity.
Right, because and I just noticed this between the last recording, so it's a good thing that that one got scotched. That he didn't give the diadems representing royal authority from his heads and put them on the heads of the beast.
They went on the horns,
which are representing the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, are these earthly kings or are these spirit beings,
minions. I think they're spirit beings. I think they are minions who've been waiting. They've been doing his bidding for years. Hmm. And I would argue that the angels that the Lord put in charge of the nations after Babel, that it's possible that these 10 spirit beings are the ones who are sort of the arch, if you want to put the princes over the princes, mm-hmm. the kings over the princes, the high kings over the low kings, mm-hmm. and that they get to run the world, and they've been waiting for a long time. But we've talked about this before, that only a human being can sit on the throne of Jerusalem. Only a human being can take dominion away from Satan, mm-hmm. which is why Satan offered it to Jesus.
Right.
Oh, look, he's a human being. Now I'll offer it to him, and he'll take it, and oh, I'll still get to run the world.
Yeah.
No. Satan wants to continue running the world, but he knows he has to give it over to a human being eventually.
Right. So
because he stole it from one.
Exactly. And that's why we discussed this with Timothy Alberino on one of our early episodes of The Bible's Greatest Mysteries, which you can watch here on the PTL Network if you're watching it there, or you can find it at biblesgreatestmysteries.tv. Timothy, in his book Birthright, argues that it has to be a human who sits on the throne of the world, as it were. The king mm-hmm. of the earth has to be a human, which is why Jesus was qualified and why Satan offered it to him, mm-hmm. but why the Antichrist will be a human who is indwelt, or perhaps a half-human, half, mm-hmm. One of the Nephilim, perhaps, a hybrid of some sort. Speculation, Bible doesn't tell us, but certainly indwelt by mm-hmm. this spirit that we call the Antichrist.
It'll be the fake news version of Jesus Christ. The world will accept that this is the true Messiah who's finally come. And all of the Christians who've come before, they were wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
They were simply wrong about the whole thing. We understand the truth. Well, they're going to be blinded by this.
Yep. Yep. Well, there's a miracle that is described in Revelation 13, but also in Daniel chapter 11, or at least hinted at in Daniel chapter 11. We'll talk about that. And war in the heavenlies as Unraveling Revelation continues.
With the official disclosure of UFOs moving full steam ahead, very few will be prepared for what is coming. The answers are now available in Josh Peck's groundbreaking new Skywatch Films documentary DVD, over 10 years in the making, entitled The Great Delusion, The Second Coming of Earth's Oldest Enemy, along with Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose on DVD, Rome and the Star God, and the late Chris Putnam's Vatican presentation on DVD, Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection. Josh Peck's new documentary, The Great Delusion, reveals for the first time why the Vatican is in possession of a telescope named the Lucifer Device, why the ancient and mysterious Anasazi suddenly disappeared from the historic record, how alien abductions might be connected to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, whether there is a secret alien-human hybridization program being conducted on Earth right now, if there is a connection between aliens and supernatural entities such as demons and fallen angels, and what we can do to prepare for what's ahead. You'll also see stunning reports on the UFO phenomenon by Dr. Thomas Horn, Josh Peck, L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, Nick Pope, Chris Putnam, Chuck Misler, and many more. You'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's documentary-style expose, Rome and the Star God, on DVD. Join Dr. Horn for this incredible expose on how the Vatican is not only willing to accept our alien brothers with open arms, but are actually enabling the arrival of the end-time Star God, the Antichrist. But that's not all. We're also including the late Chris Putnam's shocking presentation entitled Astrobiology and the Vatican ET Connection on DVD, detailing the Vatican's plans to baptize aliens upon their arrival, and how contemporary societies will soon look to the aliens to be the saviors of humankind. Sold separately, these items have a retail value of $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for full disclosure with The Great Delusion special offer. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Got our tea here so that we're just relaxing here on a Sunday afternoon. We would love for you to join us, enjoy some tea and some great food over in Israel.
Oh, iced coffee. Their iced coffee there is the best.
It is so good. March of 2022 is the current date. Now, that could change.
Yeah. We're looking at very carefully at what the tourism ministry in Israel is doing. They just recently passed a budget, so it looks like they're going to have a government that'll last its full term instead of another snap election.
Finally. So, but we also see that the rules change almost daily.
Yes.
So eventually, Aaron Lipkin and we will sit down and we'll figure it out. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to make a decision. You can always find out what is going on at skywatchinisrael.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, the war in the heavenlies. Well, let's talk about the miracle first. I teased that one first.
Yeah.
Revelation 13, verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast. I'm going to back up. Verse 3 is what I was shooting for here.
Yeah.
One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast.
Look, he's resurrected!
Right, right. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? This is where prophecy teachers get the idea that the Antichrist will appear to be assassinated, killed, but then brought back to life. Mm-hmm. But this is also an echo of Daniel chapter 11. The last six verses of Daniel 11 reads like the wars of Antichrist, really. Mm-hmm. And I argued in my book, Last Clash of the Titans, and also in Bad Moon Rising, that what we would see playing out as a plausible scenario, a Psalm 83 type conflict, like Bill Salas describes in his book, mm-hmm. where Israel's nearby neighbors, Muslim nations, go to war with Israel. And verse 40, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, but the king of the north, the Antichrist figure, shall rush upon him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and many whips, and he shall come into countries and shall overflow and pass through. He shall come into the glorious land, Israel, and tens of thousands shall fall, but these shall be delivered out of his hand, Edom and Moab and the main part of the Ammonites. That's where prophecy teachers like Tommy Ice, mm-hmm. Arnold Fruchtenbaum argue that Petra, which would be in the ancient land of Edom, will not be under Antichrist's dominion, and that's where Israel will be preserved for the last 3.5 years.
Exactly.
Verse 42, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries. The land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall become ruler of the treasures of gold and of silver and all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Cushites shall follow in his train. But news from the east and the north shall alarm him. And he shall go out with great fury to destroy and devote many to destruction. Here's the key. Verse 45, and he shall pitch his palatial tents between the sea and the glorious holy mountain. The Antichrist will build his capital city between the Mediterranean and Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
or maybe in Jerusalem, just not on the Temple Mount. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him, suggesting that...
the dragon's not going to help him either.
Yeah, that he will fall, but be resurrected.
Yes.
And... at that time, verse 12, Daniel 12 begins, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. That's the last 3.5 years.
And that's when Michael goes to war.
Yes.
That's when Michael stands up.
And that's why now, seeing that this is where the Antichrist, well, gets that last 3.5 years, I think you're right. He doesn't have to be revealed until the midpoint of the Great Tribulation period. Because we see in Daniel chapter 7 again, going back to that, so I can go back and forth between my digital Bibles here without taking up too much time. The little horn who comes up and plucks up three before him,
mm-hmm.
Speaking blasphemous names, he shall... Okay, Daniel 7, beginning at verse 24. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise.
Yes.
The 10 horns mm-hmm. on the beast of Revelation 13. And another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down 3 kings.
Mm-hmm.
He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for mm-hmm. a time. Times
and
half a time.
It's 3.5 years.
Right. And that is where I concluded during the version of this program that you didn't see because we hit the wrong button, that 3.5 years makes the most sense. But the impression I always had, or the understanding I always had previously, was that when we see that there's war against the saints, the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. This is Revelation 13:5. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, that last 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven, and was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain.
So this second three and a half years, the right. second half of the tribulation period, there's a lot of warfare going on
on
earth and in the heavens.
And in the heavenlies, because I always understood making war on the saints here and in Revelation, or rather Daniel chapter 7, to mean those tribulation saints, those who were the remnant left mm-hmm. over, those who have accepted Jesus Christ during the tribulation, mm-hmm. which will be exceedingly difficult, and they are...
And that may be part of it.
And that certainly is part of it, yes. But in Daniel 7, the word translated saints, we just stumbled on this a few weeks ago, is kedeshim, which is the same word that Daniel applies to the watchers, mm-hmm. those heavenly angels who decreed punishment on Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
Watchers, a class of powerful angel.
The unfallen watchers.
Right. So this describes, I think, not just war on earth, with the Antichrist and his forces making war on the faithful to God on earth, but also the angels, the loyal angels who mm-hmm. remain faithful to God in the heavenly realm, and he will wear them out. He will be given power over them for the 3.5 years.
Well,
until, interestingly, in Daniel, it describes the heavenly court sitting in judgment of the little horn. And my Bible app there just crashed.
Oh, you're asking way too much of it. You want me to pause?
No, I'll get it over here. We found that this is a really fascinating interpretation of this. And I think it fits because it fits the language. It certainly fits the way that word saint mm-hmm. in English, kedeshim in Hebrew, is applied
and
elsewhere in the Old Testament.
And it goes back to the idea that Michael and his angels
right,
make
right.
war.
And the angel who is explaining the vision to Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 26, explains the end of this. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion, the little horn, the Antichrist, shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High.
Well, that's an interesting phrase that you can easily gloss over that.
Exactly. If the saints refers to the loyal angels fighting in the heavenlies on behalf of the faithful humans on earth, mm-hmm. this verse makes more sense all
yes.
of a sudden. Given to the people of the saints of the Most High, his kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Wow.
This is powerful.
Picture this, though. This is a Marvel movie on steroids.
Yes.
This is the best action scenario that any child could ever see.
Absolutely.
Why are children being given such boring stories from the Bible? I know you have to start somewhere. I realize that. But let's give them meat to eat as soon as they get old enough.
Yeah.
Let's not just assume when you're 15 years old, you still need pablum.
No.
And candy.
No. But I'll tell you, if the Bible had been explained this way to me when I was a kid, this would have been just so awesome.
For a nine-year-old, I started studying Daniel when I was 9 years old, and I understood it
yeah.
to the best of my ability at that time, and I was fascinated by it.
Well, sure. I mean, Daniel is an incredible book, but when you start digging into the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic...
Which I couldn't do at the time, but you've got those tools now, Mom, Grandmom. You can go on the internet and
yeah.
you can help your child use those tools too.
Daniel 7, verse 21, as I looked, this horn, the little horn, the chaos monster, mm-hmm. Leviathan, made war with the saints, made war with the angels, the mm-hmm. kedeshim, the watchers, the faithful watchers, and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. And again, verse 26, the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. The court, there's a heavenly court.
I know, and we get to be part of it. Oh. Do you not know you would judge the angels?
Yes. Think about that. I mean, as awesome as Sharon and I are fans of J.R.R. Tolkien and his incredible work based around The Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson,
His vision was incredible.
Yeah, basically transferred Tolkien to film and did an incredible job. But this is real. We will get to witness this someday. And this is, I mean, just think about that. Just Watcher class angels, these incredibly beautiful and powerful angels going to war against a pair of seven-headed dragons.
Yeah.
And their minions.
Yes.
Some of which are probably the Nakash Seraphim that we read about in the Bible, the flying fiery serpents.
Oh, yes, but it's more than that. At one point in this whole 3.5-year period, the abyss opens up.
Yes, and all
the
of the
reserves.
Yes, the titans come out of the abyss, the watchers that are now in the abyss, the sons of God from Genesis chapter
exactly.
6.
Exactly. Yeah. Orchestrated by the dragon, no doubt, because he brings up chaos. Why not open up the abyss?
That may be the last 5 months of the Great Tribulation. Mm-hmm. Trying to calculate and figure out exactly how all the time works here, how the chronology of the end times works is a really difficult challenge.
Chart and pencil.
Yes, because there's a lot of eraser marks on that. God has not revealed the way this is all going to play out exactly, because the enemy is aware of this and is studying this probably more intensely than we are. For them, this is a matter of absolute survival.
Yes.
But it is for us too, mm-hmm. and for our children and our grandchildren and our family members and our colleagues. This whole war is for our eternal
home. It is, but here's the thing. You and I and our kids, we don't have to understand every bit of the chart.
That's it.
All we need to know is Jesus Christ as Savior. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Be covered by the blood.
And he wins.
He wins.
So, yes.
So choose the winning side.
An amazing end to this long narrative. Just incredible seeing the way John's vision was. It just fits so well with what Daniel saw, what Ezekiel mm-hmm. saw, and all of the other, Zechariah and Isaiah, and it's just mm-hmm. all fits together. And at the last trump, according to Paul, we won't all sleep, but we will all be changed.
Praise God. It's like the same author wrote all of this. Holy Spirit, thank you for the information.
Amen. Amen. As the late Chuck Mister used to put it, an integrated message delivered from outside our time domain. That's what this is. This, again, Lord of the Rings on steroids, right there in your Bible. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you think the Bible is boring, you just need to go back in and start reading it like it's a novel and dig deep into the original languages.
With the understanding that it's all true.
Absolutely. Thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.
Unraveling Revelation is part of Skywatch TV, a viewer-supported ministry. To learn more about Skywatch TV and the work of our sister ministry, Whispering Ponies Ranch, please visit our website, skywatchtv.com. And please join us for our weekly study of the Bible, verse by verse, in chronological order, online at gilberthouse.org.